Hello, my name is Amanda, and welcome to This Organized Home. Hello, it is fantastic to have you all here today. I am really excited to share this interview with Amy, who shares all of the experiences she has raising a young family and living simply her best Aussie mum life. From her easy meal plans to her relatable grocery hauls and establishing simplicity in her household, she is to be admired. And I am so thankful she is a part of this podcast episode today. Hi, Amy. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Before we get into this, I need to know, have you had your glass of water today?
Right here with me.
I love that. Good girl. You're taking care of yourself. Okay, so I would love for you to tell everyone a little bit about yourself and your family. Who are you?
Yeah, so my name's Amy and I'm from My Aussie Mum Life over on Instagram. We are a small Australian family of four. We have two beautiful girls, a three-year-old and a 16-month-old. We're a single income family. I am a full-time stay-at-home mum and hubby works full-time. We moved to Melbourne just over a year ago now, from Brisbane. Before having kids, I worked in retail. That's actually where I met hubby.
Okay.
And then that's how our little journey began.
So how long have you been married until you had kids?
So funny story, we're not actually technically married, but we've been together for 4 years. We were together a few months before we had our oldest and then a year before she came along. So very quickly.
I love that. Good on you guys. You guys are like a really excellent couple. You have so much support and just like a really good environment that you kind of communicate with. It's lovely to see on the gram. So thank you for sharing all that you do on there.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so let's go straight into the family life, because living together in a family, the logistics, the running around, the management of people can be quite difficult, and everyone does it in their own beautifully unique way. With you and your family, with your two young girls, are they in daycare? Do you have them full time? What's your situation like?
So I have them full time at the moment. In a few months, my oldest is about to start 3-year-old kindy. But prior to that, my oldest actually was in daycare for a little while because I actually returned to work for a few months. So I've done the whole work, daycare drop-offs, all of that type of thing, which can get a little hectic at times, especially when your schedule is conflicted with hubby's.
So it was
kind of like tag teaming. One person would drop her off, the other person picks her up, and then, but at the moment we're just a little family that gets to stay at home and enjoy each other's company all day, which is really nice.
Oh, that's like a perfect. Throughout the week, do you have play groups, or are you part of a mother's group or something to keep everyone occupied?
I'm not at the moment. I've actually found the move to Melbourne a little bit difficult with making mum friends as opposed to Brisbane. We do venture out all the time, just down to the local park. And if there's a mum and her kids there, we always go up and say hello and play. But we're not in anything set, per se. So we don't go to like daycare and play groups and things like that.
Yeah. Do you want to join a group or a social, like a kind of, or are you just happy just kind of every day being kind of different?
I'm kind of happy just every day being different. I guess that exposes the girls to a lot more different situations. So talking to different people all the time, and we get out of the house quite a bit. So it's not like we just sit at home all day doing nothing.
Climbing the walls.
We need to get out, otherwise I just go crazy.
And they sense that, and they vibe off you as well. If you're not completely there on them and wanting to be with them because you are a happy person, they vibe off that and they go, eh.
Yeah, 100%.
When it comes to a family, do you guys eat your dinners and your lunches and like all your meals together, or are things separate?
Yeah, so we have breakfast, lunch and dinner all together at the table as a family. Yeah. Obviously hubby's not here for lunch most of the time. Yeah. But yeah, we always sit down. We don't allow technology at the table, so it's a strict no phones, no nothing, just so we can sit down and spend some good quality time together talking, especially at dinner time, talking about what's happened through the day. I think it's just a good time to bond with the family.
Do you have like set questions you ask every day or every night?
So we just have one for our oldest, who is 3, which is, what was your favorite thing you did today? And she'll list one or she'll list 100 things. It just depends what's happened in her day. But we always ask her that question, and it just gets her talking at the table, hopefully to prepare her for school. And then when she comes home, she can tell us all about her day at school.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah.
How long does it take for you guys to eat like dinner? Would you say you're doing it fast or slow, or do you wait for them to finish, or, you know, do you?
We always wait for everyone to finish. It generally takes about half an hour for us all to eat. But I think because we are all sitting down at the table, they see mum and dad eating, they eat. So it's kind of like we're setting the example. They just kind of follow along, which has been really nice to kind of see.
How old are they again? You're 3.
So I've got a 3-year-old and a 16-month-old.
Wow. And what's their relationship like?
Tight. They are 2 peas in a pod, those two. They share a bedroom. They share everything. They play together all day, every day together.
Yeah.
Of course, we have fights. But, yeah, that's just them.
You said how they share a bedroom. Do you have any tips for people who want to get their kids to share a bedroom, especially at such a young age? I know because my second daughter was 9 months old when she had to share with my then 2-year-old. And to get there to do it, there's a few systems we had in place. Would you mind sharing yours?
So my biggest tip would be to make sure both your children are sleeping through the night. So they're not waking each other up. In those first few weeks, it was all very exciting. Her little sister was in her bedroom with her. But we kind of reserve the bedroom just for sleeping.
Yeah.
So we don't really play in the bedroom or that type of thing. Their toys are stored in there, but the toys come out into our living area to play with. So they kind of know that when they go into their bedroom, it's time for sleep. And then just setting the scene to make sure they do sleep. So making sure it's dark, it's quiet, all that type of thing. They just really kind of got the grasp of it, and they've been sharing now for 6 months. Yeah.
Do you find it's easier to manage because they're in the same bedroom?
Yes, so much easier to manage. They both go to bed at the same time, and generally because they know that they're both in there, they both have to go to sleep.
Do you hear them chat a little bit and giggle?
Sometimes, and now my 16-month-old, she's had some gross motor delays. So now she's learnt to actually stand up in her cot, and our 3-year-old will tell her to lay down because it's bedtime. So you hear those little conversations, which are quite funny.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a certain amount of time where you let them get away with it, and then you're like, nah, mum hat on. Okay.
Generally half an hour. But most of the time they do go to sleep on their own.
Oh, beautiful. So, all right, I love asking this question because especially with being a stay-at-home mom, there the set division of labor that you have in a household, and it's different for everyone. What is yours? How do you and your husband communicate? What do you guys do to get all that, I'm doing inverted commas here, housework, done. Yep. So you guys are reasonably sane.
So during the week, the majority of the housework falls on me, and I'm totally okay with that. He works full-time out of the house, crazy hours. So yeah, 80% of it falls on me. When he comes home, he takes the girls away and goes and plays with the girls, so I have a chance to make dinner and all of that type of thing. He'll always clean up after dinner too. So while I'm bathing the girls and getting them ready for bed, his job is to clean the kitchen and the dining table. And then he'll actually go in and tuck the girls into bed and read them their story. So they're the little things he does throughout the week to help me. On a weekend, it is just evenly split 50-50. We're both parents. We both made the decision to have kids. So we're both in it equally.
Yeah.
So he'll do, just as much. He'll make them lunch. He'll dress them. He'll change them. He'll vacuum or mop floors. He'll do all of that on a weekend.
Oh, beautiful. Does he do anything extracurricular for himself? Any activities to kind of gym or sporting?
So where we live, we kind of live in a complex where we have a community gym and pool. So he'll go down there in the early morning. But generally his work schedule is a bit too crazy at the moment to kind of fit things in. So he can work from, 6 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night. Very long, crazy days. We make it work.
Absolutely. Well, that's the thing. Everyone's got their own little unique ways to make it work. Do you think, did any of this change since, after having kids?
Not so much with our first, but when we had the two under two, it definitely changed. We realized that we needed to kind of just get the housework kind of done. So when the girls were in bed, we have time to sit down and chat and communicate ourselves. So that's when, that's when we do talk about what's happened in our day, what's happening over the next couple of days, the week ahead, our expectations of each other during that, what's coming up during that week. So that's when we sit down and communicate. So I think it's important to, get those jobs done and then sit down and have the time to yourselves.
Do you guys do anything special for each other? Do you have a Netflix show you watch together, or do you just read books together? Is there something that kind of keeps you guys whole?
Yeah, so mainly just sit down, watch a bit of Netflix. I'll make a cheeky little dessert just for us two without kids. Just so we get to spend that good quality one-on-one time together. Beautiful. Otherwise I think you get lost as a parent when you're so when you're divided and it's just you're doing your thing, he's doing his thing, and there's no cohesion.
Absolutely. So do you guys go to bed at the same time? Do you wake up at the same time? Is there anything different?
So we always go to bed at the same time. It just depends what he needs to do for work as to when he leaves in the morning, but 9 times out of 10 we both get up at the same time each morning as well.
Is that before or after the kids?
Actually at the same time as the kids. So they actually wake us up in the mornings. Yeah.
I love that. So putting a lot of time into, I don't know how much time you do really put into Instagram, but putting time into presenting an Instagram page, are you really conscious with the phone out and kids looking at you because the phone's out? Have you ever thought about things like that?
Yes and no. I am conscious of it. I don't always like to be on my phone when they're around. But at the same time, I think phone and technology is the way the world's moving. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for them to see me or hubby on our phone, because that's just what we do. That's how we work, especially hubby. He's always taking business calls at home. But I don't like to be on it, obviously, 24/7 in front of them. I set myself a limit of 5 hours a day on my phone. So that's not just for Instagram, that's for my whole phone. And then once that limit is reached, that's it. I put the phone down. It's been obviously too much time. 9 times out of 10, that generally happens once they are in bed. I'll sit down on my phone, while we're watching a movie or whatever for a solid hour. I try when I'm with them to play with them. But if I do snap a photo on Instagram or something like that, I'm not too bothered by it.
Yeah, good. That's really good. Yeah. Because the world, their world is evolving so fast, and it's, I think it's demonstrating like the appropriate use of, and that they need to be aware of. Because it's completely hidden, then at the same time, then what they see something, they're going to be all over it.
Yes.
Be you modeling the appropriate way, or at least trying to model the appropriate way. They're going to go, okay, well, that's how mum does it. So, and I'm going to, you know, be okay with it too. In your family, on a beautiful weekend, are there any activities that you guys do together?
So most weekends, we pack a bag, pack some lunch and some snacks. We just get in the car and we drive somewhere. So whether that's to a new park or place around Melbourne, out to a regional town, down the coastline, we just get in the car and just go and explore. So packing our lunch and snacks means that we can do it often because it doesn't cost much, because we're not going out and spending money on food or drinks, and we get to go out and we just get to experience Australia and we get to experience it with our family. So that's what we like to do.
Yeah, beautiful. Do the girls still nap? Have a nap in the day?
So my youngest does, 16-month-old does. My 3-year-old does not, which I kind of really wanted to hold on to that napping a little bit longer. But she does not. But she has quiet time in that 2 hours that 16-month-old sleeps. So that's when she generally gets to just kind of sit down and watch a movie and chill out herself.
So when you guys are doing like a wonderful activity as a family on the weekend, do you make the mad dash to come back home for the nap, or is it the whole day that you guys really want to use up? And
so we normally leave after lunch, and then they nap in the car. And then by the time we get to the destination, they're refreshed and woken up from their nap and we're good to go.
That's beautiful. All right. Let's move on to minimalism. I would love to know, do you consider yourself a minimalist?
No, I do not. I don't consider myself a minimalist, even though minimalism is whatever you want it to be. But I definitely lead a more simple lifestyle. I've definitely adopted minimalistic ways, so like a capsule wardrobe, and I'm definitely more conscious of what items I am bringing into my home. Mm-hmm. But I like things. Like I like little knicky-knack things. I like clothes. I like all that kind of thing. So I wouldn't consider myself a minimalist, but my lifestyle has definitely become more simplified over the past few years.
Okay. So how do you think raising a young family impacts and affects living or a smaller or simpler lifestyle? What does it even impact?
So sometimes I'm not gonna lie, it can be tricky, especially with kids and toys. That's probably the hardest thing. These tiny little things phase is driving me mad. But I think a lot of us think that to give our children the best life, we've got to give them everything. And that means every toy, every piece of clothing, every like adventure, everything. And I realized that you don't. You can just take a step back. They don't need absolutely everything. They are fine with what they have. Mm-hmm. And the benefit of that is my kids have really appreciate what they have. So when we go somewhere and they've got new toys at someone's house, it's always new and exciting and wow, mummy, look what they've got. I wish I could have this. And then we come home and it's like, oh, but I have great things anyway. So we explain to them that you don't have to have everything, especially my 3-year-old. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have every toy. I'm sure you will get to play with them at some point in your life, but for right now, it's okay.
Do you have a certain management when it comes to toys and organization and welcoming of new ones to old ones and cleaning out and all of that?
Yeah, so we had a crazy amount of toys for our oldest. And it was at Christmas one year, I was looking and I was like, this is just too much. Like, this is too much for one tiny little person. So I was on Pinterest looking around at like toy storage and organization. And I realized that maybe I just need to get rid of some things and not necessarily just try and organize everything. So we come up with the idea of giving them three tubs to store their toys in. Once those tubs are full, something has to come out for something new to go in. So before birthdays and Christmas, we kind of sit down and they're like, do you still love this toy? Is this something that you play with all the time? If it's not, it moves on to its next family and they get their new presents.
Beautiful. I love that. Do you have any like collegial toy areas or like a station, like a kitchen station or anything like that? Or is it all just separate?
Not at the moment, just because the house that we're in is so small. So the second that like one small box of toys is out, it feels like the whole house is just consumed in toys.
And they love so we don't have a great day. It's all it's wherever you are.
I know. So like they'll be playing in the kitchen. I'll look down and next minute there's like a doll at my feet in the kitchen. And it's like, how did you even get here? So not at the moment. once we have a bigger house, we would like to have kind of a designated playroom, play area. But at the moment it's just not possible. So we've had to kind of confine everything down.
You sounds like you're doing a great job doing that. Well done.
No, I try.
So your wardrobe capsule, you mentioned it briefly about being or trying to live for your own version of a minimalistic lifestyle. I've seen the video on the gram. I think it's pretty incredible. Can you explain to everyone what that concept really is and kind of why you chose to do it?
So a capsule wardrobe is just really a collection of staple clothing items that you can mix and match with seasonal items. So like your jeans, the black dress, the basic white tee, that type of thing. For me, having a simplified wardrobe means that I'm kind of no longer going into my wardrobe and going, what do I wear? I have no clothes, and yet there's this whole wardrobe full of clothes. Yeah. So for me, it was just about how can I simplify my life and getting ready in the mornings, but still having that love for clothes. So I kind of do my capsule a little bit different to how most people do it. So most people will do like 30 items over 30 days or 30 items for a season. I have 100 items. And that covers me for all seasons and events, mainly because weather in Melbourne is crazy and 1 minute's hot, the next minute's freezing. So I like to be able to access, you know, jumpers and jackets without having to pull them down from the top shelf and all that kind of thing. That's kind of what a capsule is to me. It's just a simplified way of having a beautiful wardrobe.
So is there any, how did you go about implementing one and actually having one in your house? Did you just throw everything out or did you cull and go through what are those staple pieces?
So when I first started, I actually started a capsule wardrobe for my now 3-year-old because I just had an abundance of baby clothes that she just didn't wear. And when I walked into my wardrobe one day, I looked and I just realized that nothing in my wardrobe I loved anymore since having a baby. My body had changed. I felt different in those clothes and I just wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. So I just pulled everything out of my wardrobe, put on every single item and was like, do I love it or does it need to go? And by the end of it, I really didn't have that much left. So then I started to purchase good quality staple pieces. So I went into stores, I was trying things on and making sure I absolutely loved it before it came home with me. Wow. So I went from a wardrobe that probably had easily over 800 items in it. I had a huge, huge collection to now a simplified 100 piece wardrobe.
Good on you. So do you have the whole 100 pieces?
No, yeah, I'm sitting at about 70. I've left room for when, you know, I do go to the shops. I'm like, oh, I really like that top. I'm going to get it. I've left room there to do that type of thing. Once I do get to my 100 pieces, it'll be a simple one in, one out rule. So if something wants to go in, something has to come out.
But do you have any tips for someone wanting to do this? Like they go, wow, this is a great idea. I'm swamped with my clothes. I want to make my choices and my decisions so much easier in my life. Do you have any tips to get them to kind of motivated, I guess, to do this, or ways to do this?
Yeah, I think just give it a go. And if you're not 100% sure, just start off small. Start with 10 items over 10 days, see if you like it. Then build up 30 items over 30 days, 30 items over a whole season. And then you could build up to a full capsule wardrobe if you wish. But I highly recommend just giving it a go. It will make your life so much easier, especially when you're a mum and you just need to quickly pop something on to run down to the shops.
And it doesn't mean you can't sacrifice on having diversity in your wardrobe, or having that bright pink top, or different types of prints, and you can still include everything that you like. It's just making it smaller and more adaptable.
100%. So I have, you know, a wide range of t-shirts and dressy tops because I love clothes. Like, I love to feel beautiful in clothes. And I always have loved clothes, but I realized that what I had was probably too excessive and I needed to kind of pare it back just a little. And now I can literally go to my cupboard and just pull out a pair of pants from my drawer, grab a shirt, and they're going to go. And then off I go out the door.
Beautiful. So I guess finances have a significant, a positive role and effect from having a type of wardrobe like that, as well as lots of like benefits to living a minimalistic or simplistic lifestyle. Within your living situation, being on a single income, maternity leave here and there, or did you go on maternity leave? Did you get paid maternity leave in between the girls?
Yes, so I got paid maternity leave for both. I returned to work after having my oldest for about 10 months I was at work, and then we had our second, so it was quite quick. Yeah. But yeah, I was very lucky to have paid maternity leave both times.
Yeah, when you have that support. So do you have any budgeting tactics that work really well for your family, especially, well, I guess, the single income? Because I think a lot of us, especially with a young family, yeah. Do you have any ideas?
So we're currently on a debt-free journey. So we've got one last debt to pay off, which is our car loan, and then that's it. We're done. We're free. But I think the biggest thing that we realized is we had to save first before we spent. So even if it's just as simple as putting $20 away a week, just having that little bit of savings behind you makes the world of difference. So always saving before we're spending, and just cutting back on all those little extras in life. So, you know, all the paid streaming services. So at one point we had Apple TV, Netflix, Stan, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime. Like, we had them all. And then we were like, why? We'll just pare back on them, save ourselves some money. And now we're on our way to debt freedom.
Wow. So are you guys inherently saving for a deposit for a house, or what's your kind of goal with the DSA?
Yep. So once we're debt free, we will be saving to build our forever home, which is really exciting. We were so close in Brisbane, and then we moved to Melbourne. So it kind of put a bit of a spanner in the works. And now Melbourne, we need to save a lot more because Melbourne's a lot more expensive than little old Brisbane ever was. So that's our goal, to build our forever home. And the way that we're tracking, we will get there hopefully in the next 2 or 3 years.
Absolutely. Do you think you guys will be staying in Melbourne, or do you think you're going to go somewhere else?
I would like to stay in Melbourne. That would be nice. We've moved around a fair bit, especially me. So I'm originally from a very small little country town in New South Wales called Griffith. I then moved to Wagga when I was 18 for uni, then up to Brisbane, and now I'm down here in Melbourne. So I've kind of been all over the place.
Three states in like 2 decades. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it would be nice to just kind of stay in Melbourne, settle down. The kids are about to start school. So, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
When it comes to your grocery shops, and especially I love to watch your grocery hauls. They're really, because especially recently you've kind of started establishing a monthly grocery haul. Obviously you have experienced the weekly, the monthly. So what have you found worked for you and what didn't work or what is working? Do you want to tell everyone?
So we're paid monthly, which can get a little bit tricky at times. So we started monthly grocery shopping for like the basics. So making sure we had, you know, all the rice, the pasta, meat, all that type of thing in our fridge, freezer, pantry. For us, monthly grocery shopping really, really worked. It was easy to just go to the cupboard, get what I needed. I had the monthly meal plan worked out. So it was very easy. I liked just doing it all at once. It saved me time, saved me money. Compared to weekly shopping, I kind of get sucked in with all those weekly sales and thinking, oh, that's half price, I need that. And then that obviously drives up the cost. At the moment, we're going to have to go back to weekly shopping because hubby's work schedule has just been all over the place. So until we can kind of figure out the rhythm again, I will definitely be going back to monthly grocery shopping. 100%.
So you love the benefit of the monthly?
Yeah, loved it. Saved so much time, saved so much money. Just did a Coles online order. It all got delivered to my house, so I didn't have to, you know, lug 2 or 3 big grocery trolleys full of groceries around a shop. So it was easy, it was simple, and it was just done for the whole month.
So with that monthly grocery shop, did you do a monthly meal plan?
Yes, so meal plan monthly. So the way I meal plan is we kind of do themed days, so like Mexican Monday, so like a Tuesday, that kind of thing. So it was just kind of a matter of filling in what actual meal we wanted. So whether we wanted tacos or burritos or Mexican lasagna, and then you kind of have all those ingredients already because Mexican's always on the meal plan. So you have all those ingredients. It's just how are you going to assemble it to make a different meal?
Yeah, and it only takes you less than 20 minutes to really pump out all of those ideas. And that's done for the entire month.
Yep.
There's no more stuff in my head going, oh, what are we going to cook tonight? Or what are we going to make this week? I mean, we have those moments where we might change it up a little bit. People that drop by and things happen.
Yeah.
Oh, to only spend 20 minutes of your energy a month.
Yeah.
It's so beneficial.
Yep.
So with finances, with raising kids, with all that we've kind of talked about so far, how has parenting changed your life?
It's changed a lot.
Yeah.
Financially, I think you can only be so much prepared before you have a child, because with kids things pop up all the time unexpectedly, which I have learnt you really need an emergency fund for that reason. So having an emergency fund to fall back on means that, you know, when they do hurt themselves or they do get sick, you don't need to worry. It's just a part of life. It happens. It's just an inconvenience. I think that your first child is always your most expensive child. They're kind of where you learn from. They're the ones where you realize you probably have too many toys or too many clothes or that type of thing. The simple living goes hand in hand. Once you simplify your lifestyle, you're not spending as much on clothes, on toys, on all that type of thing. And it frees up your money to work better for you. And, you know, it gives you the freedom to be able to go out and do things.
Yeah. So when it comes to self-care and parenting, have you seen yourself as the beautiful mum that you are change in a good way or a different way that you didn't expect?
I've learned to be a lot more patient. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that for me to maintain my patience level, I need to take some me time and just zone out, even if that means just sitting on the lounge for 10, 15 minutes with a nice hot cup of tea, a bit of chocolate while they're having quiet time or they're outside playing. I think that's been the biggest change, is making sure that I am still having me time, because it's very easy to put yourself behind everyone else and you can get lost as a mum and lost as a person. And you need to know that just because you're a mum doesn't mean that you don't have a purpose and that you're not important. You need to fill up your cup.
Absolutely. Yeah, well said. Well said. So it is really important to stay motivated throughout the day, or to be motivated throughout the day, especially when you're consistently being needed, being wanted. In all that beauty that is in being a mum, being a parent is really hard work. So how do you get motivated every day?
So for me, we like to just take the mornings slow. So just work our way into things. We generally get up at about 7. By 8, we're all up, dressed, had breakfast. But that first hour, it's just slow and steady and figuring out what the day has planned. Has kind of really motivated me to be like, it's okay, we just got to get through today. Making sure that I'm doing my jobs in the morning, so unpacking the dishwasher, making beds, all that type of thing, sets the tone in the home. So if you walk into a messy room, even if the bed's made, it feels a million times better, especially in a kid's room. So just walking into that room, you know that, you know, it's a mess, but it's okay. So that's how I kind of motivate myself. Just take some time in the morning to gather my thoughts, get my jobs done, and then we've got the whole day ahead.
I love that. So how does that motivation stay fluent throughout the rest of the day then? What do you do?
So for the most part of the day, I just play with my kids. We're either outside or building Lego, or we're just playing. I always make sure that, once again, I take that 10, 15 minutes just to sit down, have a nice hot cup of tea, regain my thoughts, regain my patience level, and then keep going with the day. I find that, you know, once I've just had, even if it's just 5 minutes, it just no kid talk, that I'm good to go, because it can kind of wear you down a bit, you know, having to talk at a kid's level all day without any adult interaction.
Absolutely. So what time is it that you and your family do you wake up? I know that you said that you wake up together as a family. What time is that in the morning?
So generally around 7 a.m. So not super early. Yeah. We're not morning people. if the kids have a bit of a late night, they'll easily sleep until 7:38, and then sometimes if we don't naturally wake up, they'll wake us up at 8, and then yeah, it's a bit of a shock sometimes, but we're nice, slow, easy.
Yeah, slow morning really a good head start to the day. So we're reaching the conclusion of this podcast episode, and I'm concluding them all with this, I'm calling it this fast five. Just roll with it. It's working. and so there are 5 questions. And the first one is, what is the easiest midweek meal either you or your partner make? What is it? The easiest, the quickest, the fastest?
If it's not spaghetti bolognese,
yeah,
it's like fish and chips in the air fryer with some salad or veggies. It's very simple, very easy. Just need to get it on the table in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, beautiful. So yeah. What's the number one money-saving tip that you've ever experienced?
Save before you spend. Make sure you're putting that little bit of money away. to set yourself up with an emergency fund. So if things happen, you've got a safety net to fall back on.
Beautiful. Did you learn that from someone, or is that just your own beautiful thoughts and wisdom?
My parents actually always taught me you must save a little bit before you spend. So it's kind of just how I've grown up. Very lucky.
That's beautiful. The third question is, what is the easiest activity you do with the kids when you just need to get out of the house in that moment or that time?
Yeah. Just grab a scooter, grab a bike, grab the pram, chuck a minute, get down to that park and just let them run.
Yeah. Beautiful. Next question is an either or question. So are you early mornings or late nights? I think I already know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Late nights.
What time do you go to bed then? So if you're waking up at 7, what time? Just out of curiosity.
Anywhere between 11 and 12. So not super late, but yeah, it's not like 9, 10 o'clock at night like most people.
My grandma. The last question I have for you is, how do you fill your cup up? What is that one thing that you do that is for you, Amy?
So besides that, 15 minutes on the lounge with a nice hot cup of tea, every Sunday without fail, I take an hour to do some self-care. So whether that's a nice bubble bath or just laying down on the bed reading a book or listening to a podcast, it's just 1 hour of me time uninterrupted. And that's how I fill my cup up.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so insightful. You have so many things that you can contribute, that you have contributed to all of us. And thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, wasn't Amy just incredible? She is such a gorgeous mother, such a beautiful person. And if there is someone you know who would love to listen to this episode, please share it with them. All you need to do is on your device, tap the 3 dots on the right-hand side of the screen, which will bring up the share icon, making it easy for you to send it to them instantly. And you can even share this episode directly on social media using the icon. And when you do, please tag me at #thisorganizedhome on Instagram so I can share it with everyone else. And lastly, I would really appreciate if you were to leave a 5-star review on Apple iTunes, please, because the way to get this beautiful information out there, the unique ways in which we are living and organizing our home, that is how we do it. Thank you for being a part of this, and thank you for listening. I'll talk to you again later.